Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to continue our series on recipes for the Christian life. These are, to me, very interesting. Remember, a recipe is something that you can do over and over and over and over again, and it always turns out the same if you follow the recipe. The recipe is the key to this, and the Bible is full of recipes. Tonight, I'm going to teach you something, but I need you to look at me for a second. When you hear the title and you see the verse, we're going to end up in a different spot than you thought you were going, okay? There's some of y'all watch somebody bake and you think, oh, I know what they're making. When it comes out, you say, that's not what I thought they were making. That's where we're headed tonight. So I want you just to pay attention. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a little. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse number 27. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of the Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Watch this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tonight, we're going to talk about the recipe for rest. Recipe for rest. But I want you to notice something. There is more to rest than sleep. Probably the first thing you thought of was, we're going to talk about our sleep habits. Not even close. The rest God talks about here is not physical sleep. It's not physical rest. I want you to notice, by the way, it can affect your physical sleep and it can affect your physical rest. But the word is not in reference to sleep. I want you to notice verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Watch this. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your what? Oh, okay. You sounded like Episcopalians on that one. Ye shall find rest for your what? Souls. All right. You're up to about Methodist. Let's see if we can hit Baptist here. All right. Find rest for your what?
Souls.
That's better. Now, your soul is not your body. Man's made up of body, soul, and spirit. He didn't say you'll find rest for your body. He didn't say you'll find rest for your spirit. He said you'd find rest for your soul. Your soul is your emotions, your personality, that which makes you what you are on the inside. And for some of us, we need a lot of help. It doesn't say, though, rest for your body. The word soul is in reference to our emotions. Honestly, the Greek word for soul here is the Greek word sunama, which means psychology. It's rest for your psyche. Rest for your emotions. There are too many people that live stressed out.
That's right.
I love watching people panic. I think it's funny. You say, why, preacher? Because there's just something this morning about 7:15. My son texted me. He said, Dad, we're on the bus. We're getting ready to leave. Do you want to come pray with everybody? Because I told him I had wanted to. I said, I'm on my way. So I walked out, and they were all sitting down in the bus, real nice and quiet. They didn't hear me coming. Brother Mike, there's two girls on my side of the bus. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I walked right up beside that bus, and I went, pow! And I smacked that window as hard as I could smack it. And I jumped on the bus and said, rapture practice! Brother Juan's over there going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. He's laughing his head off. I talked to him for a moment, prayed with him. I got off the bus. They watched me walk away, and I turned around and walked right back. And one of them took a bottle of water and started going like this, and about the time it hit her mouth, pow, I hit the side of that bus again. She baptized Daniel. You say, what'd you do, preacher? I turned around, kept on walking back to my office. I enjoy watching people panic. To me, there's something enjoyable about that. Now, wait a minute. The rest that God's talking about is a mental or an emotional rest. Physical rest is needed, but it's overrated. Most people that think sleep fixes emotional problems need help. Depressed people sleep all the time, and you can sleep forever and never cure depression. Sleep does not fix depression. Sleep does not fix anxiety. Sleep does not fix any problem. Sorry. It'll recharge your battery for your body to keep it at optimal operating. I get that. But all the sleep in the world won't fix depression. Now listen to me very carefully, and I'm not going to use a ton of scripture right here. You can go back to Genesis chapter 2. You can go to Genesis chapter 3. You can go to Genesis chapter 1 and other places that I'm just not turning to right now. God made us to work. God made us to carry a load. Yes. God made us to do things in life. Yes. He made our bodies to work best when they're active. Doctors will tell you the moment you become sedentary is the moment your body starts falling apart and you can't get it back. Worst thing to do is to sit there and do nothing. Right. You've got to keep it moving. Machinery is the same way. Do you know the best thing for your car would be as soon as you buy it, turn it on, never turn it off? It would work better. Did you ever notice they'll not turn diesel trucks off except to work on them? Say why? Because they're made to run and run and run and run and run and run. The more it's running, the less the seals are drying out, the oil's not dripping down. Same's true in your body. Not that you have seals and oil, but... But honestly, that's why the older you get, the harder it is to move. But if you'll keep moving, you'll have fewer problems. I didn't say no problems. But the moment you stop moving, they lock up. Now, our bodies, like a machine, are made to constantly run. And our emotions or our psyche needs to be at rest at times. The body needs to sleep. Your psyche needs rest, but rest and sleep are two different things. And God tells us that there is a recipe that you could find rest unto your souls. And I want to help you with that tonight. Are you ready? Let me give you the five ingredients, and then we're going to talk about them, and then we'll put it all together. Number one, you need a weary soul. Number two, take God's yoke on you. Number three, learn of God. Number four, gain meekness of heart. Number five, pull the load in the yoke. A weary soul, take God's yoke on you, learn of God, get meekness of heart, pull the load in the yoke. Now, let's go through these five things individually. Number one, a weary soul. Did you know that life is complicated? Do you know the older you get, the more complicated it gets? I look at a young couple. I was counseling Michael and Mindy a couple weeks ago. And they wanted to tell me how complex things are right now. And I was trying to be a good dad and a good pastor and say, oh, I understand. But inside I'm thinking, you ain't seen nothing yet. You have not even begun to see anything yet. You think it's hard now? When Brother Dorsey was here over the summer, I would say, I tell you what, we got about 4 weeks into the summer. I said, I tell you what, I'll trade you your semester finals, and you take my load for a week. He said, preacher, I'm going back to college to take my finals. He said, I'm not ready for this stuff yet. He said, you're right. Life is complicated. Now, are you ready for a real revelation? Did you know that work is supposed to involve your feelings and your emotions? I just get so worn out. They make me so angry. Okay, anger is a feeling. It's an emotion. Why do we think life is supposed to always be positive and supposed to make us better emotionally? Did you know not all work makes you better emotionally? I can tell you many a days my work has not made me better emotionally. You go deal with the county for a while. You go deal with engineers for a while. Amen, Brother Mike. You go deal with some of these yahoos every once in a while. You'll find if you teach in a school, you know what I'm talking about. Not every day is wonderful on your emotions. Be married. It's not always easy on the emotions. Doesn't matter who you are. Have kids. It's never easy on the emotions. You cannot rest something, though, that has not been used. You can't rest something if it never got used. I won't tell you who said this, but somebody that I know that's very close to me sitting in the back of the auditorium used to say, I don't need patience. I haven't used any of the ones I got. Guess what? I'm going to pay for that one. The Bible says that you have to use it before it gets tired. Okay? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 37. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Notice the word soul. That's your emotions. In other words, we're supposed to use our emotions in loving God. Look at verse 36. Or 38, I'm sorry. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, we're supposed to love each other as much as we love God. Now hang in there for a second. Don't you think loving somebody that is a little difficult to love could be hard on your emotions? But you have to use it for it to get weary. Notice Matthew 11 is for the weary soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor, that's work, heavy laden under a load, and I will give you rest. You don't get rest for your soul if you haven't used your soul. So it's very important that we do it. Did you know interaction with people, work, problems, heartache, grief, etc., make your soul weary? It's going to wear you down. Physical labor makes your body tired. Emotional labor makes your soul tired. How many of you have ever been somewhere and you get done and you say, boy, I feel like my emotions ran the gauntlet. I feel like my emotions ran a marathon. That's called a weary soul. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Maybe it was at a funeral or going through the funeral process. That's heavy on the emotions. That is a weary soul. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and then I'm going to slap you real hard and keep running. Amen. Fretting, bitterness, fear, panic, anger, anxiety are all emotions that drain the soul, most of which aren't even biblical. We are not, God said, fret not thyself. Too many people worry about too many things. And they worry themselves to depression, to where they're all wore out, so where they feel like they have to sleep all the time. I can't pay my bills, so I won't go to work. Then you just complicated the problem. So, first of all, we need a weary soul. Number two, told you I was going to slap and run, amen? Number two, God tells us to take his yoke upon us. Now, the word yoke is not an egg. Okay, not yolk, yoke. A yoke is, let me try to describe it this way. It's either a collar or two collars that are hooked together so that two animals could pull together. Y'all know what I'm talking about by a yoke? All right. Anybody not know what I'm talking about except Anybody under 10? All right, here we go. A yoke then is a collar or a series of collars. Sometimes it was like a log that would go across and had two cut out pieces for two oxen or whatever. And you could guide both animals with that one yoke and they would pull together. That is exactly what God says. If your soul, if your emotions are weary, he said, get into the yoke with me. Now watch this. God wants us to attach ourselves in his yoke and he will help us with our emotions. You are created in his image. He understands your emotions better than you do because he has the same emotions. His aren't guided by sin. But he has the same emotions because we were made in his image. Now listen very carefully here. God refuses, though, to pull the whole load. God's not going to pull the whole load. God didn't say, come unto me, drop your burden down, turn around, walk away. He said, get in the yoke and I'll pull with you, but you're going to pull part of the load here, dude. Let me turn to John chapter 14. I'll give you a verse and make a statement, then I'll illustrate. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 16. John 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Guess what comfort means? That means helping your emotions. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside of you, and he will yoke up with you if you'll yield to him. He can help you with your emotions. And he's given us the Spirit of truth. He's given us A, the Word of God, B, the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, to guide us through the Word of God to help us with our emotions. That's what God says. That's not what the preacher says. Brother Mike, you've been there. I know my dad has. I was hunting deer one time. I was in South Carolina. And I hunted on it was an old paper mill lot. And they had cut down, they had forested it out and then replanted it. So most of the trees, they were not near logging size yet, but many of them were 12, 15 feet high. High enough you couldn't see real far, but they weren't big enough to be, and they would alternate what trees they would cut down, replant, that kind of thing. I was about a mile and a quarter back this logging road, and I shot a deer. I was so happy with myself. Brother Larry, I wish to God about halfway through there when it's 85 degrees outside, 100% humidity, dragging a deer, that I had not shot that thing. There wasn't a human being within miles of me. I drug that deer down that logging road so far that when I got it back to the truck finally, after about an hour and a half, there was no hide left on it. On the one side. I mean, it wore every bit of hair off of it. And hot. I mean, hot, hot. Mrs. Lopez, you know what I'm talking about. October in South Carolina can be like July or August here. So you're trying not to, you know. And I didn't have a bottle of water with me. I hadn't eaten breakfast, and I hadn't eaten lunch, and I missed both, and I'm dehydrated. There was a ditch next to the road. I thought, I can't drink that water, but I sure can cool it. I jumped right in the middle of that stupid thing. I said, I might not be able to drink it, but it has got to cool me down a little bit. And it was the day before everybody had cell phones. Man, I was pulling and pulling and pulling. I was wishing to God I had somebody pulling with me. You know, just one more person sure could have helped with the load. There was only one time that was worse. I was hunting at the Indiana Dunes. I got pulled for a special permit hunt at Indiana State Park Dunes. Wonderful. Deer everywhere. Them cotton pickers put me on the farthest point out around Lake Michigan you could put me. You think dragging it on a road's bad? Try sand dunes. They shot me a 6-point buck. 3 hours later, I'm still dragging that deer. I had a rope on that thing, Brother Larry. I'd go up about half the length of this platform, stand behind a tree going up a hill, pull that rope up, leave it behind that tree, go up to the next tree, pull that thing up. I don't know how many times I did that. I got within about 100 yards of my car. This guy comes out in one of these little carts. He said, "Can I help you?" He better be glad I was a Baptist preacher, because the words I was thinking, I was not allowed to say. I said, "I have drug it this far with no help. I'm going the rest of the way." He said, "Well, how far did you come?" I said, "Far enough to know I am not coming back here to hunt." He said, "Well, what sector were you in?" I told him. He said, "Oh my, where at in that sector?" I said, "Right there." He said, "You were on the outer perimeter." I said, "I know." He said, "Well, there's about 6 or 8 of us out here with these carts." I said, "Well, they bypassed me." He said, "You drug it from all the way back there?" I said, "Yep, and you won't see me again." I didn't go back. When it's bad enough, I won't go back somewhere. It's bad. No help. None. God says you need to get in the yoke with somebody. And when your emotions are down, you need to get in the yoke with somebody who's emotionally strong. God didn't say call all your friends and tell them how bad things are. God didn't say call around till you find somebody that'll tell you what you want to hear. He said, get into the yoke with me. Everybody doing okay? I didn't say it. God did. Number 3. Then he says, learn of me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. We need to respond in emotion like God would, not like we want to. When we learn of God, we learn to respond like he would, not like our flesh wants us to. There are times I have to respond the way God wants me to respond, not the way I want to respond. You know, there are times that, well, we are to control our emotions by our will, not let our emotions control us. Say, "Preacher, you don't have feelings." Oh, I have the same feelings you have. I just don't let them always show. I tell myself when those feelings are needed, whether I feel like doing it or not. Everybody doing okay? Say, "You don't get angry." I didn't say that. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." I can be angry and still smile at you. You'll never know. God tells us that our emotions are not to control us. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. So when we learn of God, we are to learn to be like God wants us to be. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our" what? "Image. After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We were made to be like God. So when we get to a point where emotion controls us, we are to learn of God and say, "How would you respond here?" Not, "How do I want to respond?" That's good. That's when the Holy Spirit and the Word of God go to work on you and you react the way God tells you to react, not the way you want to react. I've had to do that several times in the last couple of weeks. I've had to say, Holy Spirit, control what I'm thinking right now. Control my reaction. Help me to respond the way you would if you were in my shoes. You say, why do you do that, preacher? Because I know what's in my flesh. I'd like to say the same words you would say. I might have to have Arlene say them for me, because, but anyway. I have those same feelings you have. I get frustrated. I get angry. I get upset. I get impatient. I know that's hard for you to believe, but it does happen. I feel all those things. I have had to learn not to react the way my flesh says to react, not the way my emotions say to react, but to look at it and say, okay, God, how would you react? And I'll react that way. Nobody likes taking a chewing, especially when you don't think you deserve it. Guess what? Sometimes you got to take it the way Jesus would. Everybody doing okay? God did not let emotions control him, even when his children went astray. I've watched parents lose control of all their emotions because their grown child makes a mistake. How do you think God feels? Every one of his kids did. Aren't you glad God didn't freak out like you do? I hope that wasn't a bad term. But too many of us allow that to destroy us. Aren't you glad it didn't destroy God? We have all turned everyone to our own way. God understands, and yet he's still patient with us. He loves us. He doesn't mollycoddle us. He might whack us upside the head from time to time or let somebody else whack for him. He'll let us be until we get tired of running. Then he says, I'm right there. Come on back. I'll help you again and again and again. Boy, that's good stuff. God chooses when to use his emotions. How do we learn God? Number one, the Bible. Number two, the Holy Spirit. And number three, preaching and counseling. That's really, honestly, how you learn the Bible. Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry. Number four, gain meekness of heart. Let me teach you something about, a few weeks ago, may have been a couple months ago now, I preached a whole sermon on meekness. The word meek means homogenized. How many of you all know what homogenized milk is? Homogenized milk means this. They mix it to the point where the cream doesn't separate from the milk. It's shaken together and put together in such a way to where it won't separate. In other words, it's consistent all the way through. That's what meekness is. It doesn't mean that it separates and you have different levels of it. It's the same all the way through. And that's what God says meekness is. It's the homogenization of our emotions. Did you know emotions are good things? Men, women don't have more emotions than men do. Most men forget their emotions and they don't care about their emotions. Women care more about their emotions than men do. It doesn't mean that they have more emotions than you do. They have the very same emotions you have. But ladies, we're not to be controlled by your emotions. When that little one looks at you and says, but mama, it shouldn't matter. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And I won't go any further than that because I'll be deemed mean and nasty. But God says that we are to learn to meek our emotions. You work with horses. They'll use a term, you've got to meek a horse. You've got to get him to where he's consistent. He's got to listen at all times, whether he wants to or not. Sometimes you got to put a bit in. Other times you got to work them a little differently. But you meek them. You train them by meeking them, getting them consistent so that they're usable and will obey. We're to train ourselves not to allow our emotions to get too high or too low. We're to be in control of our emotions. There are times I go into situations and I have chosen beforehand what emotions I will do and what I will not do and how much of both I will do before I ever get there. Say, preacher, that sounds fake. No, it's called not losing control. Everybody doing okay? There are times that emotion hits us. I get that. But we're not to let it control us. There are certain times I can sit there and listen to Brother Hiles' sermon tapes by the gajillions. Every once in a while, one will hit me and I'll go, ooh, that one really hurt. I miss him today. Get a tear in my eye. And I'll say, whew, what am I crying for? He's playing tag with the angels right now. He's happy. He wouldn't come back if he wanted to. Why should I be upset? I'm being selfish. And I go forward. Everybody doing okay? We're to stay lowly. In other words, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Guess what, fellas? None of us have great emotions. None of us are perfect with it. You think you are? Wait till you don't do something for your wife like you're supposed to. You'll find out your emotion wasn't the same as hers. Mm-hmm. Forget her birthday. Not this Friday, Brother Barnes. I'm trying to help you. And my wife's is coming soon too. Okay? But anyway. We're to stay lowly with our emotions. We're not to think we're something because we're in control. That's just as arrogant and just as wrong emotionally. Everybody doing okay? We need to keep ourselves under control and not let our emotions control us. In other words, out of control emotions will weary you. Did you ever cry till you couldn't cry anymore and all you could do is fall asleep? You know, when your mom or dad paddled you real good when you was a kid? Go to sleep. Man, those are the best sleeps you ever had, wasn't it, too? You say, why, man? You wore out your emotions and wore some other things out, too. But did you know being too keyed up emotionally wears you out? There are people that are too wound up all the time. Life is an emergency. Everything's got to be done right now. Oh, we got to get this, and we got to do it, and we got. I mean, it's like Ricochet Rabbit. Ding, 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 ding. Folks, calm down. There's a lot of life left, and if it doesn't all get done, it doesn't all get done. Okay, here we go. I don't get real wound up. I don't get wound up when the news is bad. I don't get depressed when the news is bad. I can take a bad phone call and be smiling at you, and you'd think, man, that was somebody encouraging the preacher. And you didn't know somebody just died. Say, why is that? Because you didn't need me to show that emotion. I'll deal with that emotion when I'm done with you. I don't think I could do that. Everybody can. I'm no different than anybody else. I can't let the emotion control us. That doesn't mean that real emergencies don't require a little bit of hurry. All right? But what you call a real emergency, you know, your bird that has an ingrown toenail is not an emergency. But somebody's finger falling off and in an accident, okay, that's a little bit more serious. when your son sticks his finger in the lawnmower, it's getting to be near emergency. And yet you can ask my secretary, I said, I need to get home quickly. My son stuck his finger in the lawnmower and I got to get into the ER. I'll call you on my way, but is there anything you need before I leave? And I promise you, I was no more excited than that. No, preacher, it's okay. I had my briefcase and I'm walking out. And I called her from the emergency room, and we did work from the emergency room. I got him where I needed to go. You say, why? Because my wife needed me to help her do that. She thought she could, but I happen to know her in blood with her kids too well. And I figured it was better if I just kind of did it. But I didn't get all wound up. The day I cut my leg, amen, I was playing with a survival knife. I bought this thing. I wanted to see what was on the inside. So I'm playing with it, put it all back in. I was screwing a little lid on that thing and had a little burr on the top there. And when I went like that, it slipped. And I went like that, and I caught it. And I heard it hit my pants, kind of that little scrape, that on fabric. I thought, oh, man, I bet you I scratched. Ooh. All of a sudden, there's blood running out of my leg. And I mean running out of my leg. And it's about 7:25, 7:30. Mrs. Barnes is going to get there in about 20 minutes. And it was in the old IRS building. So the bathroom was like from one end of this building to the other. So here I am. I go, and I'm trying to run to the bathroom like this, you know. I get there and get to where I can actually see what's going on. I went, ooh, this is a bad one. By the time I got there, I got blood clear down into my sock. I thought, that's a little deeper than I thought it was. I thought I just barely touched it, you know. So I got my cell phone, trying to call my wife. I said, I need you, and I've got a group coming to the church. I said, I need you to bring me a new pair of pants and socks. I cut my leg. I'm okay. I just need to find some Band-Aids. She said, well, they're in the medical thing across the hall there. Oh, that's a good idea. So I got wet paper towels. I got blood running in my where my sock was, clear off my foot. And I'm, thank God nobody else was there is all I can say. And I'm going back and forth. Finally, I thought, well, I can't. I put the old bloody trousers back on, went back to my office. So Mrs. Barnes comes before my wife got there. I'm sitting at the desk with my leg under my desk like this. She comes in, hi, Hi, and she comes in. I said, now, just so you know, I'm fine. I've had a little accident. My wife's on her way. I said, but I cut my leg a little bit. And I was playing with, and I hadn't looked at the knife yet. Well, I pulled it out, and that thing had gone down in my leg that far. I mean, there was blood that far down on that knife. I mean, good solid inch. Say, preacher, what'd you do? Kept those Band-Aids on. What else do you do? It'll heal back up. And I got to thinking, there's needle and thread in there. I could have stitched that thing up myself, you know? Dirty, rotten thing. No wonder they put needle and thread in there. Wait a minute. I didn't panic. My wife came, changed my clothes. Just as the group got there, I was changing clothes. They didn't know anything about it. They didn't need to know. Meekness. Number five, I'll hurry up here. We're to pull the load in the yoke. We're not supposed to just take God's yoke on us. We are to pull the load. God doesn't want you doing nothing. Look at verse 29. Take. Is that action or passive? That's action. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. That's action. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guess what? We're not supposed to just hook on to him and say, okay, God, I'm going into cruise mode. You pull for a while. Mm-mm. He said, I want you pulling with me. You pull, I'll pull. You pull, I'll pull. We're to put the yoke on, but we're supposed to work with the yoke. That means when the emotions aren't strong to get rest, you have to do something. Now listen to this very carefully here. Sitting and doing nothing only adds to emotional weariness. It does not fix it. Doctors are idiots. When they say, oh, you're stressed out, you need to quit work for a while. That is the worst thing you can do. The best thing to do is get back in schedule. But I'm stressed. You'll de-stress by working, by being in schedule. Doing nothing will cause you to think about your stress and make you more tired and keep you weary. You see, doing nothing does not fix it. Doing something does fix it. When my boys were little, Brother Mike, you know this is true. Did you know there's two handles on a lawnmower for a reason? One for the short ones, one for the tall ones. My boys are about 4 or 5 years old. They got between me and the mower, and that little bar in the middle there, that was theirs. Amen, Brother Larry? And they pushed. And I pushed. Well, they got to be 6 or 7, and they got to pushing a little bit more than they did when they were 4 and 5. So instead of two hands, I could push with one hand while they were pushing with two hands. It got to be where they were pushing, and I was just kind of putting my hand on there, just walking behind, but I wasn't pushing, and they didn't know it. Then it got to be where they reached that top bar, and I said, I'll take a couple laps, and you do a few laps. Then it got to be, you go do the front yard while I watch. Then it got to be, if you don't get the yard done today, you're in trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. How did that happen? First of all, we worked together. We pushed together till they were strong enough to push it themselves. Then you teach them to keep their fingers and feet out of it. But God's not going to pull if you don't pull. When my boys were big enough to push and they weren't pushing, I'd quit pushing to see if they were pushing. You say, why'd you do that, preacher? I wasn't going to give them welfare. Make them work. They needed to learn how to work.
That's right.
Rest, listen to this, is gotten by action, not by inaction. God says rest is gotten by action, not by inaction. How then do we work and how do we rest our emotion? Well, we take God's yoke. We react the way he would. We learn of him meekly. We pull with him. Now watch this. The word rest, we would use the word diversion. That's what the word hobby is. You rest your emotions. You take a short period of time. For some of you, lifestyle is not hobby. But you take a short period of time in your day and divert that emotion. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it is a walk outside in nature. Maybe it is sewing. Maybe it is exercise. All of those things are a diversion for emotion. It's not so that you can not do anything. You will do better doing something than sitting there doing nothing.
That's right.
Plain and simple. Sleep is not a diversion. Just so you know. There are times in my day when things will get stressful. You've heard me say. So I'll go down and go hold the door open for a few people, or I'll go do something nice for somebody, or I'll take a walk and I'll go do this or that. You say, what are you doing? I'm getting that diversion for my emotion, recharging it so I can sit back down and face the next problem. Mrs. Evans used to call it a mini vacation. Take 5 minutes as a vacation. You shut the door and take a mini vacation, whether it be a candy bar or Skittles, or maybe it's just you read a book for 5 minutes or something that is totally out of the way of what you had been doing. Take a 5-minute break And on you go. Not your cigarettes, but or your chewing tobacco. Right, Kathy? But anyway, but maybe it's whatever it may be, but that short little diversion is enough to recharge your emotions. When we have fellowship with God, as we work in the yoke, we find rest for our souls. I don't mean this the wrong way. Very few of you men and I have ever played together. Most of us have worked together, though. We found fellowship working. We carried the load. Good night, Brother Barnes and I have carried tons of loads of wood. Laughing and carrying on. It didn't make the wood any lighter. Especially when you tap your knee with a chainsaw. Say, how do you know? Shut up. You know, many people feel the pressure of life and they need rest for their soul, but they're searching for it in the wrong place. They're searching for it the wrong way. Yes, sir. They're searching for it in, well, you need to cut your schedule down. You have way too much stress. Folks, most of us are not stressed out. You can handle more stress than you think you can handle. God made you to do it. So here's the recipe and we're done. Take a weary soul. Add that weary soul to God's yoke. Learn of God while in the yoke. Gain meekness while you're in the yoke. Keep pulling in the yoke. And allow it to bake for as long as needed until you get rest for your soul. That's the recipe. Say, well, how long will it take? Bake till done. Don't stop, don't analyze, don't back off, just keep baking it till it's done. Well, I just don't think this thing's ever going to get done. Just keep it in the oven, it'll keep on going, I promise you. You say, preacher, how do you handle so many different things, so many different emotions, all the complexity of the ministry and all the different people you talk to and all the different problems? I just gave you the recipe, I promise you. I don't care how bad it is. I really don't. It really does not matter how bad. And by the way, I didn't say you don't have emotions. I schedule my emotions. I schedule grief. I don't let it creep up on me. If I'm going to grieve over something, I'll put it in my schedule and say, I'm taking from this time to do it. That's it. And I do it. And then I refuse to do it at any other time. So, well, I can't do that. If I can, anybody can. That's God's recipe. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You want rest for your soul? Not physical rest. Rest for your soul. God just gave us the recipe. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands.